Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Well, to help us understand if South Africans are significantly poorer than the average comparison and counterpart in the world, we're joined by Osagiefo Mazwai, who is an investment strategist at Investec Wealth and Investment International at Investec. Osa, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for making time, sir.
No, thank you so much for having us this evening.
I'm excited to speak to you, but I'm also worried. Because the reality for many of us as South Africans is that the truth is we have been feeling the pinch. The cost of goods has been building up, and in the odd circumstance, many South Africans have experienced the reprieve of the cut in interest rates. But maybe let's go beyond what's happening in our pockets and look at what is influencing the behavior on our pockets. And that's the macroeconomic environment, together with a myriad of other factors that you and your team at Investec have been able to uncover. So give us some context and color here as to what life has been like when it comes to economic growth post 2010.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. And I think this analysis has been split into kind of two distinct areas where we look at where we could have been at this point in time had our growth been more or less in line with the emerging market peers. But then we also now have to also have a forward-looking basis and say, okay, what has to happen now for us to get back to kind of a global average? And the metric we've used is nominal GDP per capita. Because the numbers show that having not grown in line with emerging market peers, well, then our economy is 37% smaller than it otherwise would have been. The size of the economy should have been 12 trillion rand this year. In that environment, you would have collected 800 billion rand extra in tax revenues alone this year. Sure. 800 billion just this year extra. And we just had a budget impasse where over the medium term, there was this clashing of the heads over 75 billion. So it just puts into perspective how important a high growth environment is.
Exactly. And you're quite right. A high growth environment is very important because the ripple effects are certainly felt there. And I guess the frustration that we as South Africans feel is that the impact is in retrospect, right? The lack of growth, the lack of adequate competitiveness of our economy then starts to impact us directly. And maybe that takes us deeper then into the understanding of what nominal GDP per capita actually is and feels like for our pockets. So let's simplify this for all of us as South Africans. Does this essentially confirm that we are getting poorer, but also poorer in comparison to our counterparts across the world?
No, precisely so. And the reason, because we've had questions around how do we compare with emerging markets, how do we compare with the developed markets. But the reality is that from 1919 to 2010, we were slap bang in line with the global average throughout that entire period. So the global average is actually something that we are comparable to. And then you see that dislocation in 2010. And you see that now our nominal GDP per capita is somewhere around $15,000. The global average is $23,000. So that is quite meaningful.
I'm glad that you put it that way. Perhaps we can, you know, simplify it even further. And I guess for many of us as South Africans, the numbers might shock us, but it's also our lived reality. And I'm assuming the lack of competitiveness in our economy in some ways, if one looks at the exchange rate, the competitiveness of our fixed income space, that too becomes a contributing factor. Is my analysis correct? I guess, are these some of the aspects that are continue to layer the pressures on our pockets as South Africans?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's many dynamics at play. But I think in the main, what is of most significance would be how growth would impact employment outcomes, because the time that we look at when we do this analysis is we say, guys, we've had periods of high growth, and high growth actually does mean something for employment, because between 2004 and 2008, growth was at 4% consistently, 4% or slightly higher. And that environment, the unemployment rate fell from 28% to 21%. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, because you're not building this fiscal war chest and you've got this rising unemployment, then more people are reliant on things like social grants, whereas you know, if you have a higher growth environment, if you absorb more people into the labor market, then not only are less people reliant on social grants or social support, but actually they've got dignified jobs to go to, but also then the fiscus has the capacity to invest in other areas of the economy, and then you're sort of in that virtuous cycle, right? Mm-hmm. You've got growth, you're creating jobs, you're increasing business confidence, you are increasing the attractiveness of investments for your country, and then that recycles back into more growth. So that's the kind of virtual cycle we need to be in. Yeah. Over the next 10 years, if we want to be at the global average in 10 years, I mean, the numbers are huge, right? You have to, in terms of nominal GDP per capita, to get back to the global average, we have to grow nominal GDP growth on an average of 8% consistently over 10 years, which is real GDP growth of somewhere between 3 and 5%. I mean, National Treasury's forecast for this year is closer to 1%. Our internal forecast as Investec is 0.9% for growth this year. Awesome. So it just highlights how urgent economic reform is, and pragmatic economic reform that is supportive of a business-friendly environment, that supports business confidence, that supports investment, so that that then has a ripple through into growth and job creation, and really then improving the living standards of our people. Hmm. Awesome. But I loved what I loved what Mark Barnes said. I was listening in, and he did say that he doesn't believe that there's anyone that doesn't want growth to happen, because growth is that important. But collaboration is absolutely critical. The ecosystem of South Africa is the sum of all its moving parts, whether it's the private sector, government, civic society, etc. Mm-hmm. We all need to come together to solve for this problem. It doesn't help for us to be overly prescriptive over what we need to be done. Yes, we'll refer to reform from SOEs, but we do need to have a bottom-up approach where even at the grassroots level, we understand what needs to happen, particularly, especially at a local government level, understanding the service delivery constraints there as well.
100%. Osa, you've given us such a beautiful analogy. And whilst I'm still anxious at the goals and objectives that we need to reach, economic growth targets of between 3 and 5%, and it's like you've told us, okay, we need to climb this mountain, but we're going to do it with the extra baggage, extra 5 kgs on our backpack. Plus, it's actually forecast to rain, but maybe it might even snow by the time we make it to the pinnacle. So it's quite a journey we have ahead of us, but one that can still be attained nonetheless. Osa, what you've described is that we've lost a significant number of years in terms of positive economic growth in the country, so much so that it has had a quantitative impact on our pockets as South Africans and the livelihoods that we can get to experience, but also increase the level of pressure on our national fiscus. As you've mentioned, we need to look forward, and there's certain levers that need to be pulled at. And I can imagine, as an investment strategist, you not only look at some of the reforms that need to be implemented in South Africa, which some of which you've alluded to, but also understanding that South Africa itself is part of a global community. And those are the exogenous factors that we can't control, but need to be agile enough to adapt to. I'm keen to get your thoughts, as, you know, we never know who's listening. Policy advisors, business leaders, even us as ordinary taxpayers, you know, how do we shift the needle going forward, but also taking into account that there's a larger global community that we're part of?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought this question up. I think at the very minimum, any economy, you look at the real productive elements. You look at the infrastructure, so you look at energy security, you look at your logistics. At the very minimum, you need to have solved for that, which is still a problem within the South African context. From an endowment perspective, we are actually very well endowed from a resource perspective, and we've seen elevated commodity prices at this point in time, but we can't fully take advantage of those benefits because we can't move the volumes into the export markets that we should be.
Yep.
And even then, Treasury then will collect less from a fiscal perspective. And then some of the other critical areas that we need to look at in terms of increasing confidence in the economy is also our labor capacity, or the skills capacity of our labor. So education being a priority, we need to ensure that we have a skilled labor force. That's number one. Number two, then we have to look at the security within our country. Because of when you invest, you look at the safety of your operations. That's one thing to consider. And then another thing, then, is also around property rights, which relates to investing in the economy, but having security of tenure or secure property rights.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was thinking that we managed to articulate President Donald Trump in the US, but I can imagine lots of moving parts with regard to that conversation. Also, to close off with on a lighter note, I often ask or use an analogy of a football player when it comes to South Africa's economy. So yeah, we might be playing in the Premier League, but not necessarily, you know, the top team. But coupled with that, we're also not the top athlete. We were benched perhaps a few weeks ago, but now we're that player that has a knee injury, is a little overweight, unfocused, but still fit enough to play, because we might not necessarily score goals, but we certainly know how to position ourselves in the right plays to have the potential of scoring goals. I don't know about you, but is my analogy correct, or... maybe let's add something to it as well, so that we as South Africans understand where we are competitive, but also what's lacking.
Well, I mean, South Africa is important on the global landscape, right? We are hosting the G20, and the G20 in itself is a unique opportunity for South Africa to not position only South Africa, but the African continent. Yep. As a whole, because the African continent is the only continent that's going to be experiencing significant population growth over the next little while. So this continent is poised to be a production and consumption capital of the world by 2100. Mm. It's going to play a meaningful role in global economic activity. So we do need to understand our place. We also need to understand how our resource endowments within the context that we do have the critical minerals that most of the world are rely on.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you look at the manganese, you look at platinums, you look at some of the other critical minerals. And because of the theory of competitive comparative advantages, actually South Africa and absolute advantages, sorry, in many instances, most of these resources are concentrated in South Africa. You cannot get them anywhere else. So we are a global major economic player, maybe not in terms of size of the economy, but in the robustness and the diversity of the economy, of course. And we do need to then, you know, take our rightful place in playing a bigger role.
Yeah.
And playing that bigger role begins by structuring the economy so that there is robust economic growth. And from that robust economic growth, then you get many fruits of your labor. You really benefit. And I suppose there's one analogy, at least for those who are participating in the processes of policy formation.
Yeah.
And economic growth, where we say it must be at the center, is to say they will be planting seeds. We will be planting seeds. And you just have to accept that we may not sleep under the trees of those seeds, but we can leave a fundamentally better environment or economic environment for society going forward, or yeah, future generations.
100%. And we see some examples, right? The UAE, Singapore, plant the seeds, and of course future generations will be able to benefit from it. So Ossa, it's been amazing speaking to you. Thank you so much for the analysis that you've given us and helping us simplify that. Yes, you know, we can shout, play me, coach, play me. But we also need to get fighting fit in order
absolutely
to have the energy. Such a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you so much, Sinenjabulo.
Thank you. Have a good one. That's Ossa GFO Mazwai, investment strategist at Investec Wealth and Investment International at Investec, helping us unpack the economic dynamics in the report on what's described as nominal GDP per capita. In other words, that's if you had to take this big calculation around what we produce as a country, GDP. That's all the minerals we produce, the mining, the cars that we manufacture, the financial services businesses that are active with the transactions. If you take everything that we produced and essentially divided it by the population, This is rough maths here and economics, but that would give you the average essential growth that we have per individual. And fundamentally, what is described there is that it's decreased. It's 37% lower than what it was 10 years ago. And that essentially means that as a country, in terms of what we produce, we have gotten poorer. So again, highlighting some concerns and perhaps some facts that we did know about. The lost decades in terms of economic growth under the Jacob Zuma administration, and of course understanding the various financial and economic consequences of themes like state capture, the various organizations that were involved there, and also reflecting on how perhaps back before 2010, that's when we did see a competitive layer of economic growth in South Africa. The targets are high. We have a lot to do and a lot to make sure that we are put into the basics and the nexus of our policy and rollout of capital to make sure that future generations really can benefit. As you've heard, education, upgrading skills, investment in logistics, energy and security are critical.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.